Jede Frau hat eine Geschichte.
Dann erzähl das.
Seid mutig. Wenn dich jemand fragt, sag generell ja.
Dann zeigt es einfach, wie man Geschichten erzählt, macht einen großen Unterschied.
Willkommen bei der zweiten Staffel von Die Storytellerin. Überzeuge mit Gänsehautmomenten. Eurem Podcast zu Storytelling und Female Empowerment mit jeder Menge Role Models. Ich bin Adriane Richter und freue mich, dass du heute dabei bist. Hallo, liebe Storytelling-Freunde. Heute habe ich Angelie Mullins bei mir zu Gast. Und zwar schon zum zweiten Mal. Ich freue mich riesig. Sie ist CEO und Founder of Atheris Ventures und kommt aus den USA, lebt in Berlin. Und deshalb werden wir das Gespräch auf Englisch machen. Angelie, I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you for coming and joining this podcast again.
Yes, thank you for having me, Adriana, the second time. So excited to be here.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about so many things, but we searched three topics that we want to talk about. First of all, why do corporates search for storytellers? Because they do, we will see. Second, well, why do they do that? Because AI can do storytelling for us or not. And at the end, what are the biggest challenges that you address and that the people face out there in context of storytelling? So, wonderful three questions. So let's start. It's all started because you sent me an article of the Wall Street Journal where they reported that storytellers are searched more than ever in companies in the US. And I said, whoa, that's interesting. Why is it like this?
You know, it's quite interesting. We're seeing this shift happen in the past year or two, especially in the technology and business space. It used to be about product features. So they were looking for product marketers, or it used to be about technical, you know, descriptions. Now everything in the age of AI is shifting to storytelling. So not only the Wall Street Journal, but also Sifted here in Europe wrote an article, and it said that, you know, European startups, they don't really have a funding problem. They have a storytelling problem. So we're seeing the rise of storytellers. We're seeing the rise of belief systems and value systems and people wanting to understand the context, right? And, you know, I always think that people don't buy what you sell. According to Mr. Tony Robbins, people believe what you believe. And this is something that I think businesses are just now in 2026 catching up to.
Wow. That's a huge sentence. So the companies and startups don't have a funding problem. They have a storytelling problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in pitches, you know, I do pitches for companies as well. And here in Germany, I notice the big difference. Founders and CEOs will get up on stage and they'll talk about the technicality of their problem. They'll talk about a methodology or a process, and people's eyes are rolling, right? They're not capturing the audience. And I remember going to Bits and Pretzels, right? Where we saw each other. And there was a female founder, and she was, you know, had a company about endometriosis. And she was in the final stage of the pitch competition. And she got up on stage. She was very silent at the beginning. And she just showed a picture. And it was a picture of her stomach with a scar. And I saw that picture and I thought to myself, that woman just won that competition, right? Wow. It's all about the story.
Wow. We're both in this room and I have goosebumps when you tell this. Yes, it was very impactful. And I'm also one of these, also have these scars, so I can really, really feel it. Yes, it's about the story, and people focus too much on the data, on the features, and... But nowadays we have a solution for that because we have AI. AI can tell the stories for us. At least that's what many people think now. Let's have a talk a little bit about how can AI help us and where are the boundaries, where are the limits of AI telling stories?
You know, it's really interesting. So maybe for the viewers, I just want us to think about this in context. So think about history. So think about maybe Egypt and the Rosetta Stone, and you think of other civilizations, and the written word and storytelling has really been the pinnacle of human existence. Even if it wasn't written, you know, different tribes passing down the stories of their history down to the next generation. So this has really been something that has been critical, right, to our existence and defining our humanity and who we are. So when you have AI, and especially for founders and CEOs or leaders where you have content teams, stop firing your content teams. Stop firing content leaders. They are going to be the unsung heroes, right, of the AI era. Why? So if you've ever been on LinkedIn and you'll see some people's posts, and you can absolutely tell which ones are written by AI. They all have those dashes. They all look the same. They all have the same format. What does that tell us? It tells us that AI is good at copying things or mimicking things, but it's not good at authenticity, at originality, at taking what we call the right side of our human brain, the creative side, and putting it into something that is inspirational and motivational and really capturing that essence. So this is why storytelling is important, and this is why AI cannot really do it for us.
Huh. Because my husband, he's very keen on AI, and I'm very happy that I have him, because there's the next gap coming up, the gender AI gap, that women don't use AI as much as men do. That's another topic for another talk. But I have him, and he's so keen on it. And he told me, well, you put your everything you have written, everything you have posted, you put it all in Claude or wherever. And then he or she or it can do it for you the way you do it. And I always tell him, well, I let him think that, but I know that it doesn't function, because I have seen it. I have talked to my colleagues who helped me finding interesting topics, and we saw exactly when AI was talking and when we were talking or writing. So why doesn't it help at the end to put everything in the AI tool and say, well, just copy me? Not copy somebody, but copy me.
Because it's not authentic. You know, I was actually talking to someone yesterday about a similar issue. And for those listeners who have seen that telly show called Black Mirror on Netflix, it's a fantastic show that shows different versions of the future using technology. And there was one episode where, you know, a woman and her husband, the husband unfortunately passed away, but technology allowed her in this alternate, you know, universe to upload all of her husband's social media and videos, right, into the system, and then created, you know, an AI avatar of him to really have him be remembered. And then they had another level where you could even have a humanoid, and it would upload that into the humanoid so she could have her husband around. And at the first time, you know, when this happened, she thought it was great. And then over time, she realized, right, it's not original, it's not authentic, and it doesn't matter how much artificial intelligence or robotics copies us in our speech and our diction and our manners. It's not us. And I think that this is the important piece. The originality that we have as humans, this is something to be treasured, right? This is what makes us human. So use AI tools as a sounding board, as a base, but don't let it replace your authenticity, your humanity.
I tried it out. Actually, in last November, I wanted to write an article. I wrote an article about female finance as a business case for the financial branch. And I made a lot of research. That's incredibly good to do it with AI. I had a really, really lot of paper of the research I got. And there were also texts already written by Perplexity, I think. And then I read this Perplexity text, and it was so difficult for me to get away from this text. I was somehow like stuck with this text, and I realized that it took me much longer to write my article with this text already there and changing it the way I want to write it and I see it and adding other aspects than if I had just written the studies by themselves and then written the whole text. For me, it is very difficult. It takes me very long to separate from what AI has given me. So it's good for research, good for maybe like sparring, but how do you use it? How do you use AI for creative storytelling?
You bring up a really good point, because I think everyone has seen online, like the researchers that have done the studies of the human brain when people were using ChatGPT, and how the brain activity actually decreased so much. And this is exactly the situation that you're describing and we're going through. I mean, I equate it to Google Maps. Nowadays, if I'm going anywhere, I live in Berlin, so I've been here for a while, I should know the city, but I still use Google Maps. And it's like, turn right, turn left. And people have their phones out in front of them and like they're not even thinking. So this is how it will go with AI. And what I'm really, really concerned about is Gen Alpha. So the little kids right now, where they will grow up in this AI era, because they will not have the baseline that you and I had. We know what things were like without AI, so we have a relevance. These children will not. Mm-hmm. So what will it do to their brain activity, their thinking? On one hand, we hope that creativity will flourish if AI is taking care of baseline tasks. But then the opposite of that is we are really concerned that AI would take over all the thinking. And then the next generation of humans, right, coming up, what kind of critical thinking skills will they have?
Very interesting. Because people as you and me, people who grew up in a world without AI, so almost everybody until now, so only the small kids, they grow up in this environment. They have a really good sense for what is authentic and what is AI. I read an article of the Harvard Business Manager, and they said they made a study that 65% of the people realized if an email was written by AI or by a person himself. So, and then they wrote on the study or on the article, AI can help leaders communicate, but it can't make employees listen. Because at the very moment people realize, oh, this is AI, the whole email, the whole information doesn't make so much impact and so much sense for them. So they just don't care that much. So people communicate a lot because AI is writing all the emails and posting everything, but nobody listens, nobody cares.
Because I think what your example uncovers is people really pay attention to authenticity. This is what humans value. And when they realize that it's not authentic, it's almost like, you know, it just glazes over their eyes. And it, like you said, it doesn't have the same relevance or importance. So I think this is the area where humans can really bring value.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cocooning effect is growing. I had a workshop and there were all lawyers, and I found a very nice video of Mr. Stoltenberg from the NATO, and a very nice little video with photos of him showing his personality, also showing him with the kids, feeding them and stuff like that. And two of the 10 persons in the room later said, in the second you showed me this video, I cocooned myself and didn't want to see it and watch it because I don't want this impact to happen. And I think this is all fake. This is all AI maybe, but I don't want to be impacted by that. I cocoon myself. I somehow try to protect my mind and my soul not to see this content. That was very interesting, because this is now happening more and more. And so it will be even harder to reach people.
It's going to be very difficult. And I think we're getting into an age where people are not going to understand the difference. They're not going to be able to tell the difference between something that's AI generated and something that's authentic. So even like when I do podcasts with you and others, I have my real living room, my real background, right? Just because I believe authenticity will be the new premium. And it's something that I keep saying because right now on any platform, if something's AI generated, sometimes it has a label, right? It's AI generated. I think by 2030, we're going to have labels that are saying this is a real human.
Of course. Because that's also a point. You can produce podcasts also, like putting your voice. We have our voice in the internet. Everybody can produce a podcast in Chinese with our voices. It's so easy. But I also think that this will be a very, very huge task for all the companies and all the people, leaders, however, everybody who communicates does have to skill up in their storytelling skills, in their humanity, in their authenticity. Because until now, it's maybe enough to tell just data and tell the facts. Not even. So what do you're a lot on stages, you're a keynote speaker, you're advisor for go-to-market and for founders and CEOs. So what do you find the biggest challenges for CEOs and for companies in this topic?
You know, it's quite interesting. I was just talking with another CEO recently, and I was telling him that in tech and in startup land, people think that the biggest issue is money or funding. And it is, it's a big topic. But what's even bigger is time and decision making. And a lot of companies hit problems when they procrastinate decisions or they don't make decisions. So this is happening right now with AI because people are paralyzed. They don't know what to do. There's too many tools. They don't know how to integrate it into their companies. They don't know the right way. Sometimes they make decisions that are not so good. Like when you look at Klarna, for example, I always use them as the poster child for doing it badly, I will say. Or Duolingo, right, had some issues as well. So procrastinating decisions, not training your people, right? Everybody wants people that are AI fluent and AI native, but nobody wants to train them. So chicken and the egg. But I really am advising founders and CEOs right now, do not delay on making decisions. Get on board. AI is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It will only accelerate. Figure out how to position yourself. Figure out how to get ahead of it. Figure out how to integrate it. And please, storytelling and your narrative is what will differentiate you.
Very, very good. I also think that it is people, it's like, you know, it's like inflation is the other way around. You buy it now because you think it's getting much more expensive. And deflation, we're like in a deflation AI situation because we think, okay, do I have to learn to prompt? Maybe like last year, everybody wanted to learn how to prompt. Now, you know, well, I don't have to do the prompt by myself. I tell the AI to write a prompt for me. So last year, everybody went to skill up in prompting. And this year, you don't need it anymore. And that's like the deflation of know-how in the AI sector. Like people wait, paralyzed. So maybe it's getting even easier. And next year, I don't need this anymore. Or is it this kind of...
It's getting easier, but again, it's also it's becoming more difficult to tell the difference. So there are AI tools that will create music for you now, right? And there are AI artists now on Spotify that are not even real, right? So of course, see what that's doing to the music industry. There was an influencer on LinkedIn, and she had, it was something I think last year, and she had a picture, AI generated, of her at Wimbledon. And everyone thought it was real, and it wasn't, right? So we're getting into a state where, yes, you do want to stay ahead of the tools because you want to be able to differentiate in your own mind what's real, what's not real. And like you said, it's a journey. First, people learn how to prompt. Now we're learning how to just vibe code, right? And use the tool. It's going to get to an age where you're just going to speak, right, into a microphone what you want, and you're going to have different AI agents doing it for you.
Yeah.
So it's going to become that level. And I think once we get to that level, and I think the next level after that is the human consciousness. If you follow Elon Musk and what he's doing with Neuralink, trying to connect the brain with the computer, I think once he has finished that work, then we're in a completely new era.
The no-click era.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. So don't fire your content managers. Don't fire your storytellers. Search for more storytellers. I read that a company called Venta in US searched for a head of storytelling, and they offered $274,000 salary.
Exactly. So
for telling stories.
They are putting their money, right, behind this belief. And you'll see a lot. I think Miro, they were also doing a head of storytelling role, similar salary. So I don't know any of the listeners, if you want to apply for that role, if it's still available. But they are putting some very good money, right, behind these roles, which tells you something. So if corporations are throwing money at this, it tells you that this is really what's going to be important in the years to come. And I think, you know, this era of everything being data driven, because we've lived in this data driven era and micrometrics, AI will actually do that for us. So when AI does all the calculations for us, then what's left? And that's why you're seeing companies make big bets on the storytelling piece.
Wow. It's like Nancy Duarte wrote this book, Data Story. So we have three levels, like explore data, first level, explain data, have all these presentations. Now AI can do it also quite good. And then inspire with data on the third level. So we all have to shift to the third level because AI is going to do first and second level as good or even better. Most of all, more rapidly than we can do it. So we have a lot to do because we are storytellers. You have to leave. And that's why we come to our last part and my favorite part, because you can tell me a quote that is important to you, something that, accompanies you through your life, through your work as a storyteller, as an advisor. Can you tell us your quote?
Yeah, and I kind of already gave the Easter egg drop earlier in our conversation today. But for me, something that I'm saying to everyone is authenticity will be the new premium. And when you look at storytelling, when you look at running a business, when you look at leadership and how you lead people, authenticity will become the new premium, will become the new luxury, right? Because in a world filled with ads, with AI-generated content, when you look now, ChatGPT is going to be offering ads. We're in that moment, right? Authenticity. You even look at the CEO of Anthropic, and recently in the past few weeks, how he stood up to the US, administration and said, no, he didn't want, his AI model to be used for warfare, to be used to spy on the public. And then noticed how everybody started, signing on to Claude, and they started dropping OpenAI's ChatGPT. So authenticity, standing in your power, your belief systems, this is going to become the new premium.
And next time we talk about authenticity, because what is authenticity? That's then the next topic, because what is it? It's about becoming vulnerable, telling stories. Imagine when we talked last time in 2024, AI was already there, of course, but we didn't have it that prominent, and that urgency didn't exist at that time. But now everybody has to speed up and skill up. But at the same time as you skill up in AI, you have to skill up in communication skills, in human touch. Anjalee, so wonderful to have you here. And next time we talk about authenticity. How about that?
Absolutely.
Das war eine weitere Folge von Die Storytellerin, eurem Podcast zu Storytelling und Female Empowerment mit jeder Menge Role Models. Hört euch am besten gleich noch eine Episode an für noch mehr Selbstbewusstsein. Spannende Infos zu meinen Gästen, wie immer in den Shownotes und auf meinem Profil bei LinkedIn. Bis zum nächsten Mal, eure Adriana.